Well, we've been certainly reflecting on what happened 1 year ago today, a few hours from now, when the world was flipped upside down for four families at Oxford High School. The world was turned upside down for every single student in that district and parents in that district and the community at large. And we've talked about some of the changes that we think should be made. We've talked about some of the changes that you think should be made. But at the end of the day, it happened, and it's about picking up the pieces and moving on. And part of that process is what's playing out in the court system, is the legal process. And Ethan Crumbly has already now changed his plea, and that door seems to be closing. But still seems pretty open for James and Jennifer Crumbly, the parents of Ethan Crumbly. And the decision by the Michigan Supreme Court to pause their case as it relates to the four counts of involuntary manslaughter that each face. What does this mean both for the parents, for their defense, and the legal proceedings going forward? That's why we turn to Todd Flood, managing director at Flood Law. Todd, nice to talk with you as always. Was this a surprise move by the U.S. or by the Michigan Supreme Court to pause this case? Did you see this coming?
No, I actually, the defense made the appeal to the appellate court, and then they rejected it and took it up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court remanded it back to the Court of Appeals to examine just one issue, just the issue of causation in this case. And no, candidly, it's very rare that that happens. It's not commonplace that that happens. So, to that extent, to answer your question, no. However, that being said, Chris, this is a case where was it reasonably foreseeable if you give a gun to a kid that's in a crisis mode, whether or not something dangerous or bad could happen? And a reasonable, ordinary person would say yes. The evidence that came out, so this is what they have to examine. The evidence that came out at the preliminary exam, all the testimony, all of that evidence that showed probable cause that a crime was committed and probable cause that these defendants committed, did they meet that threshold? And the question is going to be, just on the one issue of causation, was it reasonably foreseeable that this could happen? And I went and read a good portion of the transcript, and I looked at what the court in the district court, Judge Nicholson, decided. And, you know, she says it quite succinctly and quite clearly that the court finds, and I quote, the court finds that the death of the four victims could have been avoided if James and Jennifer Crumbly exercised ordinary care and diligence in the care of their son. So there was plenty of evidence, a plethora of evidence. The fact that the parents came to the school on this day 1 year ago, went into the classroom and went to the counselor's office and saw the picture that the shooter drew with blood all over the place and then an identical picture, the gun for which he purchased. Right then and there, just a reasonable person with ordinary care could foresee that this is a kid in crisis mode and knows that he has a gun, something horrific is about to take place. But what do? They leave. They don't bother taking them. So those factors, those pieces of evidence, that's what you have to do in the courtroom, is follow the evidence and follow the facts to a conclusion. And, you know, Karen McDonald's doing a great job. She's not prosecuting these people. She even says it on the record. I'm not prosecuting these people because they're bad parents. We all have disdain. She's prosecuting them based on facts and evidence to show
that they were negligent. Yeah.
They were more than negligent. They were grossly negligent. And that's the standard, the gross negligence. They had an indifference. They had a recklessness of what was going on. And the wantonness of something bad happening was clear. And it was established by probable cause. So I don't. The Supreme Court did not make judgment on the causation issue. They just simply said, you know what? We want to have the Court of Appeals take a look at this. And there's plenty of case law, Chris, in our state where parents have been prosecuted for involuntary manslaughter for leaving a gun. An unloaded gun is one case in a closet in a bedroom, and two children, a 10 and a 9-year-old, that 10-year-old gets the unloaded gun, reenacts a video game she watched, and shot the son. The father was convicted and it held up in the Court of Appeals for involuntary manslaughter. So that's the same, if not similar. You have a situation where it's reasonably foreseeable that this type of activity could happen, especially knowing the kid is in crisis. And when Shooter took his plea, and one of the great questions in voir dire of him, can you know, admitting his guilt, he says, his last question, yes, the gun was unlocked. Yes,
they knew about it.
So
I think it's going to be, you know, the victory for the defense is that they get to appeal and expand the record. But at the end of the day, all of this information that comes out and the facts, and there's plenty of facts that Karen McDonald has that if she had to, could expand the record at the district court level. But she put in enough evidence, more than enough evidence, to establish at least that very low standard for getting bound over.
We got just a minute left here, Todd.
No, Attorney Todd Flood, kindly join it. Todd, this was not going to be easy. I think I heard you say it. I heard a lot of people say it. This was not going to be easy from the start because it's kind of setting a legal precedence, right?
Nothing's easy. This one, I mean, I shouldn't say none of these, but this one, causation in this case, is, you're right. We talked about this earlier on because you have to show that the Trombley's action was a cause of the four people that lost their life, you know, and here in this particular situation, I think they showed a cause, but it's not easy because normally, to your point, you can't prosecute someone for another's criminal act unless you get into the position.
I got 10 seconds left here. Is it possible that the appeals court can throw this thing out altogether?
It's possible, but then Karen would just bring it back from the district court and expand the record found over again.
Yeah. Good stuff, Todd.
Thanks,
Flood.
Todd.
Always appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
Yeah, you do the same. More to come on the Paul W. Smith Show next here on WJR.